Welcome to History Books and Wine. We're your hosts, Lori and Bailey.
And Eliza Knight. We love sharing, so pour a glass of vino and let's dive into the past. Today we're excited to have a guest joining us, Anna Lee Huber.
On this episode, we're going to talk about the Fortune family and their journey on the ill-fated maiden voyage of the Titanic.
Welcome, Anna.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
We are so delighted you're here with
us. Really happy to have you here. Yeah. And the Titanic is one of my favorite subjects. We did a podcast about it last year, I think last season.
Yes, we do love talking about the Titanic, yeah.
I find people are either like ecstatic about it or not.
Yeah, it still fascinates me. Just a real quick side note, I went on a cruise recently with my family over the holidays, and the cruise line is advertising this new ship that they have coming out this year called the Icon of the Seas, and apparently it's the biggest ship that you've ever seen in your life, and it has the most things on it, like 7 pools and all these nightclubs and everything. And as soon as they said it, I was like, well, you know, maybe we'll wait a couple years before we book because it's the biggest, most glamorous ship ever, and that freaks me out. So
yeah,
right.
That's a very good point.
Well, even back then they did. I mean, there were people, just because it was the maiden voyage, it was like they didn't want to tempt fate.
Oh, wait.
Like, oh, boy.
Glad they did.
All right. Well, before we dive into this very intriguing episode, we always talk about what we're drinking. Anna, why don't you go first?
Sure. I am drinking a Pacific Rim Sweet Riesling. Ooh. It's my favorite wine. It's just really refreshing and crisp and fruity. And so if you like sweet wines, it's
yummy.
A good one. So
very nice.
What about you, Lori?
I am having an old favorite. I guess not that old. I discovered it last year. It's called Imagery, and it's a Cabernet Sauvignon. And it's got a really nice taste. And it's very prevalent in my neck of the woods. Every time I go somewhere now, I see it on sale, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to grab another bottle.
That's nice. I love a sale. I chose today a Cabernet Sauvignon as well. It's called Lapis Luna, and the cover is really cool, or the label, I guess. And the back is also really neat, and it's a woman, like, on her knees holding a heart that's on fire, and it says, "The perfect time to start never arrives." And I just thought that was a really cool, kind of meaningful saying. You know, something that we're always telling ourselves, even, like, about writing and stuff like that, which is the perfect time's never going to be here. Just get your butt in that chair and
just
start writing. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. That's right.
So today we're going to be chatting about your book, Sisters of Fortune, A Novel of the Titanic. Can you start off by telling our listeners what your book is about and how you came up with the idea to tell this story?
Sure. So as it's kind of given away, it's set in the Titanic. It's about the Fortune family, which is a real family from Winnipeg, Canada. That sailed on the Titanic. They were in the first class. The father, Mark Fortune, was actually a millionaire. I was surprised to learn that Winnipeg, Canada, at this time in 1912, was the city in the North America that had the most millionaires per capita.
That is surprising, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So there was a ton. Yeah, you would not have thought that. And so they were in good company, and there was quite a few Canadians and some from Winnipeg that sailed with them. And this family had 3 daughters, all in their 20s, unmarried. And I just thought, ooh, who are these people? Mm-hmm. And there was a brother and a mother. And so they were just, I was intrigued. I'd never heard of them. And I thought, why have we never heard about these? Because we hear all about certain first class passengers, but not them. So I actually got clued into writing this book because my editor approached me. Apparently they're kind of had a wish list that they had like a meeting, and they really wanted a book set on the Titanic. And she said, I thought of you. Mm-hmm. It was my editor for my Verity Kent series. Would you be interested? And at first I was really reticent because I thought, oh boy, I mean, Titanic, it's not something you can just jump in to.
Yeah.
I mean, you really, really have to know your stuff because the people who know Titanic know it from the nuts and bolts down. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, I don't know. So give me some time. Let me think about it. And then I started looking into the passenger lists and just kind of poking around, and I stumbled across this Fortune family, and I started looking into them, and there were just so many interesting anecdotes that were true. And I thought, this just sounded stranger than fiction. And I thought, this is a perfect in. This would be the great characters to get us into that ship and to really also, you know, get deep into what happens on the Titanic, and not just them, but, you know, the real story of the Titanic that a lot of times gets glossed over. We just get the highlights. So that's really how I got started with it.
I have one little tiny side question here. I think it's really funny that their last name is Fortune and they were really rich. Did you look into that? Mm-hmm. Like, is that just their family name and it just so happens? Or did they, like, rename themselves? I don't know.
I know, you would think, right? It was just so perfect. Yeah, it's, as far as I can tell, it was their name. It was his name to begin mm-hmm. with. And he started from nothing. I mean, like, he was like a gold miner. I mean, like, he was trying to make his fortune. And I just, it fit so many things, like the ill-fated fortune of the Titanic. Yeah. And it was just, I mean, like, you couldn't come up with
that
a
is
more
perfect,
perfect
I love
name.
That.
Agree. Yeah. So I also find it fascinating that the oldest sister, Alice, was given a warning about the voyage of the Titanic. Can you tell us a little bit about the prophecy and what obstacles in life she's facing as the journey home begins?
Yes. So one of the first anecdotes I read about was about Alice, who's actually the middle sister. And the reason they're in Europe is they're going on this grand tour. The father has decided he's going to take the kids on this grand tour, which is what they did at the time to polish them off. You know, it was like a finishing thing to go to Europe, to go to the Mediterranean, all these places, to Egypt. And so they go on this trip. That's how they end up in across the Atlantic. And they're at the very near the beginning of it. They're in Egypt, in Cairo, at the Shepherd's Hotel. We all heard about the Shepherd's Hotel mm-hmm. there. And Alice is sitting on the veranda having tea with a man named William Sloper, who's from Connecticut. And interestingly, a lot of our information about the Fortune family comes from William Sloper, because he wrote a book about his life. It was like a memoir, mm-hmm. kind of. And he's the one who tells us all these stories, because the Fortune sisters were really reticent to share anything about it. Their family talk about how they were really close-lipped about it. So a lot of the information comes from him, and he tells the story about when they were on the veranda that this soothsayer came up, and they asked him to tell her fortune. And he tells her that she's going to be alone in an open boat on the ocean, and she's going to lose everything but her life and all these things. And it was like,
I don't
wait
like that.
A minute. Like, is this real?
It's pretty
you know
crazy.
What I mean? Like, because it, yeah. And it was it really happened. So, just kind of a crazy, you know, thing. And so her life, she was, engaged to be married. And when they left on this trip, as was her older sister, Flora, funnily enough, they were both engaged. They postponed their weddings to go on this trip. And, but as the novel's opening, you know, she's kind of been, you know, closeted, you know, for her life. She's only been in Winnipeg. She's not traveled, and she's finally getting to, like, explore and have all these adventures. And she's really not sure, you know, she's not sure she wants to return to that life mm-hmm. in Winnipeg, where she doesn't go anywhere and she's just cosseted and coddled. And she's kind of expanding her horizons, and she's second guessing her future.
Wow. That's just fascinating.
It is.
And I will say, a big part, you know, a lot of this is factual, but the fortunes, because, you know, it's historical fiction, some of the motivations behind what the sisters do is what the main fiction is. Cause I couldn't find out what they were really thinking, cause they didn't talk about it. So a lot of this is me reading into the history or changing it slightly or those kind of things.
But, you know, like, one thing I always think about is you're reading into it, you know, their history, you know, what's going on at the time. And I bet a lot of what you think you made up might actually have been true. And that's what I think is so cool about it.
That's
what
I'm hoping.
Yeah. You never know.
There was enough little clues that you could kind of go, I think maybe this is what they were thinking.
So Flora's life is mapped out for her with a well-to-do banker as her fiancé, and her parents heartily approve of him. As her wedding day approaches, what has caught her interest, and how is she rethinking her path?
Yes, so Flora is the one who, she postpones her wedding. She's very dutiful. She wants to please her parents and do the right thing, and so they've chosen this you know, spouse for her, and she's okay with that. He's a good guy, you know. But they go on this trip, and she starts to realize she's kind of regretting returning home, and that's not really a good sign. Mm-hmm. And so she's very kind of torn, but she's, you know, prepared to just do the right thing. But then she meets Chess Kinsey, who is a tennis player. He is my only completely fictional character in the story, but he's based on two real tennis players who were on the Titanic. Carl Baer, who is his friend in the book, and was a real person on the Titanic, and he really followed this girl to Europe that he wanted to marry, and he's courting her on the Titanic. And so their story kind of parallels Flora and Chess. And also Richard Norris William, he was a tennis player that I used some of what actually happened to him. He's not in the book, but you know, he was on the Titanic, and he had kind of an interesting story too. But yeah, so Flora meets Chess, and at first it's kind of oil on water. But then they come to realize that, you know, maybe there's more there than they thought. So.
All right. Well, Mabel, the youngest of the Fortune sisters, believes her parents arranged their grand tour of Europe to separate her from a jazz musician. But she's really not interested in marriage. What movement has captured her attention?
Yes. So she is the youngest, and she's interested. She really wants to go to university. That's what she wants to do. She wants to study. This is the time when women started to be admitted into universities and started to be admitted into professions. But it was still scandalous. It was still kind of looked down upon. Like, they thought that it would make them too manly, or they would like damage their ability to have children. It was all these kind of crazy things. Mm-hmm. You read these things and you're like, what? Anyway.
What were they thinking?
That's crazy. And so she's really wants to go to university, but her father is not having it. And she's kind of fallen in with this jazz musician, and he's courting her. And so, you know, she's kind of letting it happen because it gets under her parents' skin. And she's that kind of girl. Mm-hmm. You know, she's the youngest daughter. And she's also interested in the suffragist movement. She's, you know, expanding. She wants her rights. She wants to be able to vote. She wants to be able to decide what to do with her future, not be told you have to marry this man and that's your only choice. So she's trying to find a way to convince her father to let her attend university. And she's, you know, meeting all these fascinating women on the Titanic that I didn't know sailed. And I can't believe they've not been featured more. Mm-hmm. You know, these suffragettes and these other doctors and lawyers and writers. There was all kinds of females on the Titanic that were very accomplished. And I loved getting to highlight them.
That's really awesome.
It is.
The family is really fascinating, I find. And so in the book and in real life, the Fortune family has traveled all over Europe. They've seen magnificent castles, museums, the ruins in Greece. They were in Egypt. Were you able to do any traveling for research for this book?
I was not. I really wish I could have. Mm-hmm. It was obviously post COVID. And also I was writing on a condensed timeline because they'd asked me, they wanted it as fast as possible. So I was squeezing it in, and just getting the research done and the writing done was like crazy because it was so much research. So yeah, I didn't get to travel I've been to England, which they're at briefly, but I didn't get to go to Egypt or any of those things that I would have just loved to do.
I would love to go to.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll get to one day.
I know. Yeah. I know, right? It's on the bucket list. It's on the bucket list.
Very cool.
So you also have two historical mystery series, Lady Darby and Verity Kent. What is your favorite part about writing historical mysteries?
Yeah, so I think because I get to explore historical moments in a different way. They are, you know, I'm approaching them from an aspect of a mystery. And so I'm not necessarily, I'm maybe highlighting them, but not delving deep into them. And I can kind of like approach them adjacently or explore specific aspects or those kind of things. And also I've always been fascinated with mysteries. When I was a kid, I was a huge Nancy Drew fan. And my stories naturally end up with a dead body. Yeah. I don't know why. I'm riding along and somebody, oh, look, we found a dead body in this crypt, you know? And so I don't know what it is in my brain, but that's what happens. Yeah, so
it's just
a natural fit because I love history and I love mystery and I just mash them together and it works.
That's perfect. So,
it is.
So thank you so much for sharing all of those fascinating answers with us. Before we get to the next stage of our show, which is our favorite, Three Fun Facts, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Hi there, History Books and Wine listeners. Thanks for tuning in to our show. I'm one of your hosts, Lori Ann Bailey. Not only am I a podcaster, but I also write sweeping historical romances that will take you back in time and whisk you away on an adventure with action, intrigue, suspense, warring clans, tested loyalties, and love conquering all. My Highland Pride series follows the Cameron clan in 17th century Highlands when Scotland was fighting for their independence and honor and family were prized above all. Highland Deception, the first novel in the 5-book series, won the National Reader's Choice Award and Holt Medallion for Best First Book and Best Historical. The entire Highland Pride series is available in print, ebook, or audio. For more information on how you can be swept away on my hero and heroine's journeys of growth and discovering their destinies in historic Scotland, visit my website at LoriAnnBailey.com.
Hello there, history books and wine lovers. This is your host, Eliza Knight here, and I can't wait for this summer because I have a brand new book coming out. As you know, one of the reasons Lori and I started this podcast was our love of wine, history, and books. And guess what? I'm not just a podcast host. I'm also an author. So I have to ask you, do you like royals? How about corgis? Releasing on June 11th is my book, The Queen's Faithful Companion, an endearing and vivid story told from the unique multi-narrative viewpoints of a young Queen Elizabeth, Hannah Fenwick, the fictionalized keeper of the Queen's corgis, and yes, Susan, the Queen's corgi, whose love and loyalty were boundless. A reigning queen, a loyal servant, and a faithful companion. This is one book you're not going to want to miss. Early readers can't get enough of the Queen's corgis, and I admit, I'm also completely obsessed. Right now, you can pre-order The Queen's Faithful Companion anywhere books are sold, or you can visit my website, www.elizaknight.com, to pre-order there. Happy reading!
And we are back. So why don't you give us 3 fun facts you learned during your research?
Sure. So one of the things I thought was so interesting was that there was a cat on board the Titanic. I didn't know this. I'd heard about the dogs. Some of them were saved and some were not. But I didn't know there was a cat, which makes sense because they would need a mouser, right, on the ship, you know. But there was a cat named Jenny, and she actually dropped a litter of kittens right before they sailed. And, you know, one of the stewardesses who survived talks about this cat and the fact that this cat was taken care of by this scullion called Jim, named Jim, and that she just loved Jim. And so, like, I just thought it was the cutest thing. I was like, I have to put these cats on there.
Yeah,
I just do. I just thought that was interesting. And then, let's see, I thought it was really cool. So I was reading about what the children did on the Titanic and the different classes and stuff. And I thought it was so funny that You know, I didn't think about the fact that in the third class, most of these people worked like every day of their lives. Mm-hmm. So when they were sailing on board the Titanic, even the third class accommodation was like luxurious to them.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It was the first time in their lives that they didn't like have to cook a meal. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to do anything. They had like a whole week. They could do whatever they wanted. And I didn't. It's hard to think about that, but like seriously, they didn't take vacations. Yeah. They maybe had a day off once in a while. So to have a whole week, and the children just thought it was just great, and they were playing on the shipping cranes.
Oh my gosh.
They would like swing out and jump off, and
that
like
seems terrifying.
I just thought,
it does.
Yeah, it sounds terrifying, but I can totally see these children doing it. I could see my kids doing it, you know. So I just thought that was interesting. And I also thought, I read about Thomas Cardiza, who we've all heard about Charlotte Cardiza. She was the dragon, you know, that everybody, the high society woman from New York, who everybody was kind of terrified of. Well, her son and her sailed, and they actually were in the one of those luxurious parlor cabins. Ooh. On the B deck, which they feature in the movie. That's the cabin that Rose and all of them stay in. And they actually stayed in one of those, and there were Thomas had poker games in there. He had private poker games, and on the like veranda and all that stuff. And there was actually some women who went to these poker games. We hear about this from one of the survivors, and you know they also had to dodge professional gamblers.
Oh, wow.
I guess there was these professional gamblers that would sail on these ships because they knew the men in the smoking room were going to be gambling a lot of money, and so they would try to sneak in and that's how they would make their living. And so same thing with these Cardiza's poker games, they were trying to sneak in, so they were trying to find ways to keep them out. And I just thought that was hilarious because, you know, I can totally imagine that happening now too. So
funny side note, on the cruise I was just on, my husband loves to play poker, and so he was like, they have a poker tournament, I want to play. And I was like, okay. And my brother-in-law was like, oh, I want to play too. And within like the first round, my brother-in-law was out, and my husband was like, sorry. And then my dad just kept coming back. He's like, he's winning everything. How is he doing this? And my dad's like never played poker before. So he was just down there watching. And then he was coming up the pool deck and like giving us all like updates. And then he ended up winning the tournament. But they still do
that's
that
pretty cool.
It is.
There you go.
You just made me think of that. So sorry about that sidetrack. Yeah. So is there anything else you'd like to share about your book, Sisters of Fortune, with us?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. It was just so fun to write. It really was. Like, I was nervous about doing it, and then I was just very excited about the way it turned out, and it was just so fun. And it's my first historical fiction, fiction novel, which I've been wanting to. Thank you. Yeah. I've been wanting to try just writing a straight historical fiction, and I just hadn't had the opportunity yet, and this was it. And so hopefully I'll get to write another one. So
I think readers will love it, and the Titanic is always very popular, so I think people will really enjoy your book.
Well, thank you. Agreed. Me too. I hope so.
So we are all writers, but we're also readers, and we always like to know, what are you currently reading?
So I'm currently reading Play the Fool by Lena Chern. Mm-hmm. It's more of a contemporary mystery, but the narrator, she's just such a hoot. She's so irreverent and wry and just funny, and she reads tarot cards and she gets involved in this murder, and it's just
fun. That sounds like fun.
And then I'm also reading Susan Elia McNeil's her last book, the last book in the Maggie Hope mystery series. I got an advanced copy of it, so I'm reading that right now. So
nice.
I know people are going to be excited for that this
That's
summer.
That's cool.
So.
It is. So where can our listeners find you?
So you can find me on my website, www.annaleehuber.com. All of my social media links are there to make it easy, but I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
Nice.
All right. So, very nice.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We had a lot of fun with you and chatting about the Titanic and your book.
Yeah, this was great.
Thank you. Yeah, this was awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode with our special guest, Anna Lee Huber. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the rest of this season's lineup.
Coming up, we have guest authors Nev March, Kate Quinn, and Janie Chang joining us.
Bye.
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 For more information about today's episode, click on the show notes.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at HistoryBKSWine for additional historical tidbits and updates. If you like what you heard today, please leave us a review.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to check out our episodes published weekly on Tuesdays.
Until next time,
cheers
and happy reading.